I invite you to take your Bibles, open up to the book of 2 Kings. We're going to be both in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles tonight. We're going to be talking about King Hezekiah. So turn to 2 Kings chapter 18. His story is told in 2 Kings chapter 18 through chapter 20, and then in 2 Chronicles chapters 29 through 32. He probably gets more more pages in the Bible than any other king that we've talked about since Solomon. I know Ahab got a lot of pages in the Bible that were about him, but when you put what's said about Hezekiah all together, and even over in the book of Isaiah, he's in the book of Isaiah, there's probably more things written about this king than any king since Solomon. Now, I just remind you, last week we talked about his dad, King Ahaz. And I'll remind you that King Ahaz was a wicked king. He turned away from God. He worshipped in the high places that the kings before him had built to the false gods. He offered his children as sacrifices. He's the one that took God's altar out of God's house and had an altar built that was from another country, that was used to worship another god. And he had that altar put in the temple of God. Just a wicked, wicked king. And yet that wicked king had a son named Hezekiah that, as you'll see in just a minute, turned out to be one of the best kings that Judah has. Best from the standpoint of not what he accomplished, but best from the standpoint of following God and being true to God and keeping God's command. So look at 2 Kings chapter 18, and I'm just going to read the first seven verses of this chapter, and then we're going to turn over to the book of 2 Chronicles and look at some specifics of what this king did as he turned the nation of Judah back to God. Now, 2 Kings 18, verse 1. Now, it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, and you'll see over in 2 Chronicles, it's a little bit longer name, but the same person, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. Now listen to this. He removed the high places and broke the images and cut down the groves, all the places that were built to worship the false gods, and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. That was that brazen serpent that God told Moses to make when the people complained against God. The fiery serpents came in and began to bite them, and then they died. They began to die. The people cried out to Moses. Moses cried out to God, and God said, "Okay, Moses, make a serpent of brass. Put it on a pole and hold it up, and tell anybody that has been bitten by the snake that's going to die because of that snake bite, that if they look to the brazen serpent, they will live." And you remember in John chapter 3, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he mentioned that event because he says, even as the serpent was up, and I'll just say it in my own words because I can't remember, even as Moses in the wilderness lifted up the serpent, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so the people in this day had begun to worship that brazen serpent. They began to worship something that God had told Moses to make. And they weren't worshiping the God. They were worshiping the serpent itself. "For unto those days," up until those days, "the children of Israel did burn incense to it and called it Nehustan." I mean, they even named the snake. So going back to Hezekiah, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. So after the nation split into the two kingdoms, Israel and Judah, There was not a better king before or after this king Hezekiah. In verse 6, for he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. So, what a wonderful testimony. Not a better king before, not a better king after. He hung on to the Lord and didn't depart from following anything that the Lord commanded Moses to do. Now, I want you to turn over to 2 Chronicles real quick. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Over here, it gives us some more specific things that Hezekiah did as he clave to the Lord and to the commands that God gave Moses. 2 Chronicles 29, look at verse 1. And it says the same thing that we read in 2 Kings 18. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah. It's a short name, Abi, in 2 Kings, a little bit longer here, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. Now notice in verse 3, he, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priest and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord of God and have forsaken him and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs, and they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the Lord God of Israel. In the first year, and again, remember, Ahaz's father had closed up the temple, had led the people to worship false gods. And so in the first year of his reign, Hezekiah says, we're going to change. We're going to go back. We're going to open up the doors of the temple. We're going to clean out all the filth that was brought into it. We're going to go back and we're going to start. We're going to take care of God's house. Let me just say it like that. We're going to take care of the temple that was built, and we're going to clean it out, and we're going to start using it again the way that God intended for us to use it. In other words, we're not going to worship on these false altars that are here in the temple. We're not going to go into the high places. We're going to come into this place that God has given us, and we're going to offer the sacrifices on the altar. We're going to burn the incense on the altar of incense. We're going to put the showbread on the table. We're going to offer the lamb in the morning and the lamb at night. We're going to put the showbread on the table, and we're going to go back to doing things the way God told us to do them. So, when it says he clave to the Lord and he departed not from any of the commandments that God gave Moses, he went back and started using the temple the way that God told Moses to use the temple. Now look over in chapter 30 of 2 Chronicles. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah. Now remember, Israel was the 10 tribes, a separate nation, to all Israel and Judah, and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel, and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem, to keep the Passover in the second month, for they could not keep it at that time. Back in Moses' day, if you were defiled by a dead body or for some other reason, and could not keep the Passover in the first month of the year when you were supposed to keep it, God had a plan B, so to speak. You could keep the Passover in exactly the same way the second month of the year. So they weren't ready to take it in the first month, but they said, we're going to keep it in the second month. In verse 4, and the thing pleased the king and all the congregation, so they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba unto Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem, for they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. In other words, in a long time, They had not kept the Passover the way that God told Moses to keep the Passover in a long time, the way it was written. And remember, the Passover was God's way of reminding his people what he did for them when he brought them out of Egypt. It's called Passover because when they put the blood of the Passover lamb on the door, the angel passed over the house and didn't go in and kill the firstborn. And God wanted them to be reminded once a year as they kept the feast of the Passover about what he had done for them. And they hadn't kept it for a long time the way it was written. If you stay in that chapter and turn over to verse 26, it says, "So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem." In other words, since Solomon had been king. And remember, he was David's son. He was the one that built the temple. Since Solomon's day, they had not kept the Passover the way it was supposed to be kept. So when it says, he clave to the Lord and departed not from the commandments of Moses, he reopened the temple. He said, we're going to start using it the way God intended for us to use it. We're going to keep the Passover feast the way God instructed Moses. Look at chapter 31. Chapter 31, verse 1. "Now when all this was finished, all Israel that were present went out to the cities of Judah and break the images in pieces and cut down the groves and threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin and Ephraim also and Manasseh until they had utterly destroyed them all." You see, the mistake that the past kings of Judah had made is they left these places that their forefathers had built to worship these false gods. They left them in place. And so, like we talked about last week, it was real easy for people to go to those places and worship the false gods. And Hezekiah said, well, we're going to make it hard. We're going to go out and we're going to tear them all down. Some of them were built by Solomon. I mean, some of them were built by Solomon at the end of his life when he turned away from God. And Hezekiah said, we're going to go tear them all down. We're going to destroy them so that people don't have the opportunity to go and worship false gods. Now, look at chapter 31, verse 2. "And Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service, the priests and the Levites, for burnt offerings, for peace offerings, to minister, to give thanks, to praise in all the gates of the tents of the Lord. He appointed also the king's portion of his substance for the burnt offerings, to wit, for the morning and evening burnt offerings, and the burnt offerings of the Sabbaths, for the new moons, and for the set feasts, as is written in the law of the Lord. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwell in Jerusalem to give the portions of the priests and the Levites that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord." Here's the next thing he did. He said, we're going to reopen the temple. We're going to start using the temple the way God wanted us to use it. We're going to reinstitute the Feast of the Passover. And then we're going to organize the priest so that they start doing inside the temple what God wanted them to do. The sacrifices. Oh, and by the way, we're going to take care of the priest. See, the priest portion was, they didn't have an inheritance in the land. What their portion was the offerings that the people brought into the temple. They hadn't been doing that. And so Hezekiah said, look, we're going to go back to the way God intended the priest to be supported. We're going to go back to giving them their portion so that they can be encouraged in the law of the Lord, so that they can keep doing what they're supposed to do as priests. We're going to give them their portions like God instructed us to do. And then look at verse 10, same chapter. "And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said," and when Hezekiah came and they saw all these offerings sitting around on the outside of the temple, why aren't you using these? And here's what the priest said, "Since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty. For the Lord hath blessed his people, and that which is left is in this great store." When Hezekiah gave them command, the people just started bringing stuff in, and the priest said, we got more than we need. This is the leftovers. We don't have any place to put it. And you read the next few verses, and Hezekiah had them go into the temple and make a place to store it. Now, one more. Look down in that same chapter 31 in verses 20 and 21. "And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God, and in every work that he began in the service of the house of the Lord, and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. He did it with all his heart. He wasn't half-hearted about any of this. He didn't do it hesitantly. He gave it everything that he had. First commandment. First, the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's what Hezekiah did. And it says he prospered. He prospered. I want you to see in the next 5 minutes or so the blessings that God gives to a people that obey him and take care of his house and worship him in the way that he wants to be worshiped and get all the idols and the false gods out of their life and take care of the pastors and do it with all their heart. I want you to see how God will bless a people that do that. Back to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 18. And I'm going to tell you some of this to save a little bit of time. It was in Hezekiah's reign that the nation of Assyria came up and carried away the nation of Israel. They were taken into captivity before Judah was. The 10 tribes, the northern kingdom, the nation of Israel was taken into captivity when Hezekiah was ruling. Okay, remember, he was the king of Judah. And the king of Assyria came and carried Israel into captivity. They came up to Judah, and they began to take some cities, and the king Hezekiah sent to the king of Assyria and said, I must have offended you. Tell me what you want. What will it take to make you go away? And the king of Assyria says, well, here's my price, gold and silver. And you can read in chapter 18 how Hezekiah went into the temple and he cut off the gold off the door and took some of the stuff from the temple and tried to pay off the king of Assyria. Now, I will just tell you that man's solutions to his problems always fall short of God's solutions. Hezekiah should have known to go right to God with his problem. Instead, he tried to solve it himself. Oh, here comes the king of Assyria. I see what they did to Israel. I don't want them doing the same thing to me. Hey, king, whatever his name is, I think it's there in that chapter, how much will it take for you to go away? And the king of Assyria said, well, this much. Hezekiah says, okay, I'll give it to you. And he gave it to you. And then in verse 17, and the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsaris and Rabshakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem. He took the money and he came anyway. He took all the gold and the silver that Hezekiah paid him. He said, I'm going to come get you anyway. And he sent a great army up against Jerusalem to take him captive. And they cursed God, they cursed the king. And Hezekiah prayed over in chapter 19, verse 19. He said, now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Hezekiah finally went to God with his problem. And here's what God did. God said, okay, Hezekiah, I'll take care of you. They're not going to take this city. And that night, an angel of the Lord went out into the camp of Assyria and killed 185,000 soldiers. Chapter 19, verse 35. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. Now, just think about that. 185,000 enemy soldiers killed by an angel of God in answer to a prayer of God's man. Now, we think we got big problems. Can you imagine if you were the king of this city and you're standing out and there's 185,000 people out there and you don't have an army near that big? And this king prays to God, and God says, "You're a righteous man. You've stuck with me. You've obeyed me. You've tried to obey the law that Moses, that I gave to Moses. Because you've been obedient, because you've stuck with me, and because you've done it with all your heart, I'm going to bless you. You got a big problem. You got a big army that you paid, and they came against you anyway. They want to take you into captivity. I'm going to take care of it for you." And 185,000 people, God, soldiers, God killed because a man was obedient to God. And again, and here's my point. Remember, we're not studying these kings just to learn their history. We're studying the kings to say, what can we learn in our own life? I don't care how big your problem is tonight. I don't care what it is. We got a God that's bigger than your problem. Huh? We got a God that's bigger than any problem. And if we're obedient to Him and love Him with all our heart and ask, He'll take care of that problem. Say, no, no, listen, I'm not saying He's going to heal every disease. I'm not saying, I'm going to tell you, He will take care of your problem. 185,000 people died in one night. One night. Because Hezekiah prayed. All right, 2 Kings chapter 20. I got a couple more minutes. Let me just tell you this. God comes to Isaiah and says, "Isaiah, go tell Hezekiah to set his house in order because he's going to die." Hezekiah goes and delivers that message to, I mean, Isaiah goes and delivers that message to Hezekiah. And in verse 2 of chapter 20, it says, "Then he, Hezekiah, turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. Here Hezekiah prayed, "I don't want to die. Lord, remember how I've served you. I've served you with all my heart. I've turned to you. I've kept the law that you commanded Moses." And God said to Isaiah, had already left and was walking through the courtyard, and God said, "Hey, Isaiah, go back to Hezekiah. Tell him I've heard his prayer. I'm going to add 15 years to his life." 15 years. I mean, here's a messenger from God coming and saying, get your house ready because you're going to die. And again, because this man was obedient, because he clave to the Lord with all his heart, he prayed and said, "Lord, I'd like some more life." And God said, "Okay, I'll answer that prayer, and I'll give you 15 more years." You say, "Preacher, do you think people can do that today?" Well, God hasn't changed. I mean, He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And maybe if somebody would do what Hezekiah did, they might be able to pray the same prayer that he did and get 15 years added to their life. Now, it doesn't stop there. Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "Could you give me a little sign that God's going to do this?" And Isaiah said, "Okay. See the sundial out there? Did you want the shadow to go forward or you want it to go backward? 10 degrees. And Hezekiah, "Well, if we wait long enough, it's going to go forward 10 degrees, but it never goes backwards. Why don't you move the shadow on the sundial back 10 degrees? And God did it. I want you to stop and think about what God had to do that. He had to stop the earth and turn it backwards for 10 degrees. Huh? Think about it. I mean, He just didn't change the shadow. He made it, He stopped the earth in its rotation and turned it backwards 10 degrees in answer to a prayer of a man who had claved to God with all his heart and worshiped Him in the way that he wanted to be worshiped and did the things that we talked about earlier. In answer to a prayer, He stopped the earth in its rotation and turned it backwards 10 degrees. You say, you think something like that could happen today? God hasn't changed. And again, the only point I want to make tonight is sometimes we get into situations in our lives and we have problems in our life and we get the Eeyore complex. You know, Eeyore, that Winnie the Pooh character. Brother Clint knows who I'm talking about, because that's, if I haven't taught you anything else, Brother Clint, all these years, it's who Eeyore is. But we get the Eeyore complex. Woe is me. What am I going to do? And I'll just tell you tonight, if we'll do what we're supposed to do, I'll just say it simple, the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, then we have a God that can do things in answer to prayer that we cannot even think of. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. What a God. What a God. Anybody have a question or a comment?